it's time to buy Nike stock instead of the red hot Lululemon. And we're diving into this because Lululemon is set to report its quarterly results this Wednesday, December 11th. And Nike is set to report its quarterly financials on Thursday, December 19th. So next Thursday. And before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we start diving into Lululemon and Nike, I want to just do a quick little market update to give people a sense of what's going to be hanging over both of these stocks before they report. So all three major U.S. indexes surged last Friday on the back of strong U.S. jobs data. And this showed that U.S. employers added 266,000 jobs in November, which crushed economists' expectations of about 187,000 jobs. And meanwhile, overall unemployment fell to 3.5%, which matched, once again, its 50-year lows. Then on Monday, we had stocks slip slightly through morning trading. And as you might guess, this came on the back of some U.S.-China trade uncertainty. And this is coming before a new round of tariffs are set to go into effect on Sunday, December 15th. So this up next Sunday on more imports from China. This means this week will be hugely important in those trade negotiations as they try to reach the so-called phase one trade deal. And clearly Wall Street and investors are hoping that President Trump in the U.S. will either hold off on these tariff hikes or at least roll back existing ones as they try to reach some type of agreement with China. But there's no point in speculating because this has been going on for a very long time at this point, and we're not going to really know what happens until it's actually stamped with a real seal of approval from both sides. So that's going to be hanging over the market for this week and until 2020 or until there's some type of agreement reached. So we're not going to talk any more about that. We're going to jump right into what's going on with Lululemon that trades under the ticker LULU, which makes sense. And their shares are up over 100% in the last 12 months. It's historically traded pretty heavily around earnings. So it's a stock that you can either see a big win or mostly big wins for the stock that's been up so big recently. And it's sitting right at its new highs. So last quarter, right after it reported, its shares climbed 12% after it topped our estimates. And then they climbed 16% following their Q4 2018 release. So that's just two out of the last three quarters, they were up pretty big. So it's a stock that if you're interested in trying to make a little bet on what Wall Street's going to react to when they report on Wednesday, it's certainly one that you could see a big boost if you're on the right side of that. So with this in mind, let's dive in to what's going on with Lululemon at the moment and kind of a bigger look at the company in general. So Lululemon really came of age during this e-commerce shopping era, and it operates mostly a direct-to-consumer business, and the Vancouver-based company kind of jump-started this athleisure market and changed the relative face of what is seen as casual fashion over the last decade. Their success has really forced everyone from The Gap to Victoria's Secret to Target to all roll out their own athleisure brands and styles. And Lululemon's ability to expand its reach in the digital age has been vital. And it's really achieved huge success also through its own standalone brick and mortar expansion. And this is happening all while Nordstrom's and Macy's and other department stores slowly fade. So just for a frame of reference for how big the company's brick and mortar presence is, they closed the second quarter with 460 stores around the world. That's up from 415 in the year ago period. And most of those stores are in the US, Canada, and Australia/New Zealand. So their big push is to try to grow more in Asia, specifically China, and then also Europe as well. So that's where they're trying to expand now. And then along with their highly successful women's athleisure and athletic offerings, the firm has pushed way farther into outerwear as they now hope to compete more against companies like the North Face and Canada Goose and other outdoor apparel retailers. And Lululemon also is offering far more work-appropriate clothing than they ever have before. They've rolled out their own self-care product line. They're quickly expanding their menswear business. So in fact, the company executives expect them to more than double the size of their menswear revenues by 2023. And then the firm projects it'll more than double its digital revenues and quadruple its international sales with, as I mentioned, that larger push in Asia. And then another thing just to pay attention to if you're going to listen to the earnings call, they've started testing out a loyalty program recently. So pay attention to any updates for that. And they also rolled out and opened their first ever what they call experiential store over the summer, and that was in Chicago. I've actually been to it, and if it does well, they see that kind of being, they'll open some bigger flagship kind of stores, maybe in bigger markets throughout the country. So that store features a yoga studio and a restaurant and is two floors and is far larger than most of their normal brick and mortar stores. So over the last 5 years, as people might assume with their stock being so red hot, they're up over 410%. This easily tops the apparel market's 26% climb and destroys Nike's 100% movement. And obviously, Nike and Lululemon are at very different points in their company history, so it makes sense that Lululemon's stock would have more room to grow sort of at this point than Nike, which has been around for far longer. And with that big 410% jump over the last 5 years, much of that growth for Lululemon has come since the summer of 2017 after they reported their Q1 fiscal 2017 results in early June. The stock is up almost 375% since that point. And with the only real drop-off over that stretch being that Q4 2018 broader market sell-off that they were not able to defy. So that's the only little pullback they've seen in the last about 2.5 years. So the stock's been pretty impressive. And along with this growth has come a pretty stretched valuation picture. Lululemon is currently trading at about 7x forward 12-month sales estimates, which is far above the industry's about 2x average and above its own 5-year median of 4. And then in terms of their forward price-to-earnings ratio, that's also pretty high as well at about 42.3x forward earnings, which is above its own 29x forward earnings median over the last 5 years. And both actually mark new highs, which makes sense, and therefore value investors probably aren't taking that hard of a look at Lululemon, and it's really more still that growth stock in this retail space that there are companies doing well, and there's obviously a lot of companies struggling, and Lululemon has been kind of the standout stock in this retail space for the last several years. So now we're going to take a look at what to expect. So last quarter we had Lululemon's sales were up 22%, with comparable sales up 17%. Their e-commerce revenue was up 31%, and in-store sales were up 11%. So e-commerce, that's the theme, and it's going to be a theme for really the rest of the retail life, because that's where all of these companies are at least trending in that direction. Now, who knows, there could be a sea change and they go back more towards a brick and mortar space in a decade from now or something, but I highly doubt that. E-commerce is going to be a big thing. And we should also note that their men's sales were up 35% and their international revenue was up 34%. So once again, any interested investor should really pay attention to both of those figures, because if you see a slowdown in those businesses, the stock price could reflect that. So looking ahead, we're calling for Q3 revenues to climb about 20%. And this is based on our current Zacks estimates. So this would mark a bit of a slowdown compared to Q2. and Q1. And in fact, it would our estimate would mark the slowest top line expansion for Lululemon in the last six quarters, where they had grown by about 22 to 25% of the last six quarters. So then for the full year, fiscal 2019, we're calling for about 18% top line growth, and then another 15% growth in 2020, which would see the company pull in about $4.5 billion in revenue. So this would mark the continuation of pretty strong sales, but obviously it would fall a little bit from 2018's impressive 24% top line growth. But it would also come in well above where they were in 2017, 2016, and match 2015's growth. So a little bit of a slowdown compared to what they did in 2018, but nothing that's dramatically different than what they have done recently, and it would compare very well to 2017, 2016, and 2015. And then on the bottom line, we're expecting Lululemon's adjusted earnings to climb about 24%, which would also mark a little bit of a slower growth than last quarter. And then for the full year, we're calling for about another 24% full year growth, and then 18% growth in 2020. So along with that top line growth, we're calling for some solid growth on the bottom line as well, as they expand their menswear and digital businesses and their markets as they try to grow more in Asia. So right now, Lululemon is currently a Zacks Rank number two buy, and it's seen some positive earnings estimate revision activity in the last 7 days heading into its report. And it also currently holds A grades for growth and momentum in our style score system, and rests in the top 35% of our more than 250 Zacks industries. So as we mentioned, anyone who's interested in Lululemon should definitely pay close attention to their e-commerce growth, their international growth, and their menswear growth, as those businesses are likely to drive the stock forward or see a little bit of a pullback. So in the end, playing a stock, especially ahead of earnings, is inherently risky. So you're really betting on just how Wall Street's going to react, and you never know exactly what they're going to report. But Lululemon does seem like it's still in a position where it will be a solid growth play for at least the somewhat near future, even if they have a little bit of a pullback from their right around their brand new highs after they report their Q3 results this Wednesday. So now we're going to jump into Nike, which has done very well recently, even though Adidas and Lululemon have stolen some of the shine in North America especially. But they've outpaced Nike stock, which trades under the ticker NKE, has outpaced its broader industry in 2019, and it looks poised to expand probably more than it has in the last several years when we get into those numbers near the end of the episode. So Nike doesn't need much of an introduction. Most people around the world know what Nike does, but we're going to dive into why, at least in my opinion, and not just my opinion, but why it looks like it'll remain as the biggest sportswear retailer in the world, even with challenges from Adidas and Lululemon and some other places. So first and foremost, and sometimes this can get discounted, Nike has remained at the forefront of the biggest sports on the planet, from the NFL in the United States to international soccer and basketball and even the Olympics. And this might not seem to matter to some people, but it is part of the reason why people are still willing to pay $150 for running shoes, because if the top athletes in the world don't trust a company, why would the average person pay so much money for shoes when there's lots of other options out there? So Nike has remained that at the peak of international sports all around the world. So they're going to continue to do that, even though more and more of this sportswear is not actually used for working out. It's become more of casual wear, that street wear. That's also where Nike has thrived, and they've become more entrenched than ever as a part of fashion and culture. And they really helped create and tap into the mainstream adoption of streetwear and athleisure that Lululemon has also been a part of as well. And along with Lululemon, Nike hasn't forsaken its brick and mortar business whatsoever. instead, it's remodeled and modernized its stores, and they try to remain a big presence in key cultural and fashion hubs from Tokyo to Shanghai to New York and Paris. So that's really where they see their presence needing to be at the top of its game. And then whatever's happening in those cities, they kind of see it trickling down to everywhere else. And that's kind of been their growth model for the last several years and will be going forward as well. And obviously, like everyone else, from Target to Walmart, Nike has spent the last several years bolstering its digital and e-commerce push. So the company has rolled out multiple apps geared towards everyone from the hardcore sneaker lovers to the more casual Nike shoppers. They've also expanded their presence across social media, where this is more important than ever because you can now shop directly from platforms such as Instagram. You can just click on whatever they're selling. You can just tag those items. It gives you the price. You go right there, boom. And so this is not just in terms of presence. You can now shop directly from those sites as well. And just a quick note to give people a sense of the scope of Nike's still global dominance. They have over 96 million followers on Instagram where you can now shop directly, compared to Adidas at about 25 million. So 96 million to 25. And that's sort of just a proxy, you could say, for global reach on something that's become widely popular. And Lululemon's at just about 3 million right now. So that gives a sense of kind of that broader scope of the size of these companies. And then along with this e-commerce and digital push, Nike has tried to improve its supply chain through digital analytics. They've introduced RFID tags into products. They recently purchased over the summer Select, which is actually spelled with a C, in that they bill that company as, quote, a retail predictive analytics and demand sensing firm. And that was completed back in August. And this is all part of their larger consumer direct offensive strategy, as they put it. And overall, Nike stock is up about 31% in 2019, 8% in the last month, and it actually hit brand new highs Monday morning. And Nike stock has now outpaced Adidas over the last 2 years and is trading at about 29 times forward 12-month Zacks earnings estimates, which is above its three-year median but below its high point over this stretch. So the stock is outpacing Adidas once again. It's at brand new highs, and its valuation is a little bit stretched, but nothing too crazy there. And we should also note that Nike executives announced in mid-November that they raised their quarterly cash dividend by 11%, and the company's currently paying a dividend yield of about 1%, which tops Adidas at about 0.9% at the moment. And they're also in the midst of a four-year, $15 billion share repurchase program, which was announced in 2018. So they're also returning a ton of value to shareholders through both dividends and repurchases. And now we're going to go ahead and look at what to expect from what is actually their second quarter of fiscal 2020, which is due out next Thursday. So revenues are projected to climb about 7.5%, which would top last quarter's 7% expansion. And then for the full year, we're calling for 8% growth, and then another 8.6% growth in fiscal 2021. And this would top 2019's growth and actually mark larger growth than they'd seen in the last 4 years for the next 2 years. So that's a sign of good things to come for Nike, that this year and next year are actually supposed to be bigger growth on the top line than they have in the last 4 years. And then at the bottom end, we're calling for adjusted Q2 earnings to climb about 10% to 57 cents per share, with the full year expected to be up about 19% and then another 18% in 2021. So some solid top and bottom line growth for Nike over the next several years. And then as we roll this out, wrap this up, I just want to mention how much their digital business is going to matter for Nike. So CEO Mark Parker and other executives project that the firm's digital division will make up 30% of Nike's total business by 2023, compared to roughly 15% at the moment. And they're also so pleased with their own digital push through their apps and their own website that they've actually cut ties recently altogether with Amazon, pretty much. So they had experimented with working with Amazon over the last several years, and now they're not going to be working directly with Amazon anymore, which seems crazy for some people to think that Nike would forego working with Amazon, as it has such a massive presence in digital retail, but that's how comfortable they are with their own rollout of all their various initiatives. Along with their own brick-and-mortar businesses, and they're remaining very heavily focused on their own direct-to-consumer business, they do still have key partnerships in the retail world with the likes of Foot Locker and Nordstrom's and Dick's Sporting Goods and places like that. So they're just trying to focus more on key businesses on that wholesale side and then expanding their own direct-to-consumer business going forward. So Nike, unlike Lululemon, is currently a number 3 Zacks rank hold. And it does look poised, though, to grow on both the top and bottom lines, even as Lululemon and Adidas continue to expand as well. So both Lululemon and Nike seem to be solid at the moment, with growth investors likely to take a longer look at Lululemon, while Nike's that more stable, dividend-paying retailer that seems to be a solid long-term play, kind of no matter what happens over the next several years. So once again, Lululemon is set to report its quarterly results this upcoming Wednesday, December 11th, while Nike is set to report its results on Thursday, December 19th. And both of these sports retail powerhouses look to be in a strong position at the moment. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
Or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified, described, were or will